You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Well, thank God for y'all being here today. We're about to start on our series on about Do You Know Who You Are? And the thing that we talked about, the fact is that if you don't really know who you are, you don't really know the value that you carry about yourself. And so if you don't really know the value, then you'll kind of misuse your own self. You know, you'll have other people to misuse you. You'll accept things that you don't even have to accept. You know, it reminds me of this story about this guy who had this pawn shop. In this pawn shop, he carried all type of merchandise. And this guy came in looking for a violin. And the guy said, well, all I got is this one old dusty violin. The case was cracking. The leather was splitting on it. And he said, I got this old violin here. So I'll let you have this for about $5. And the guy took the violin. He looked at it. He closed it up. He said, $5? He said, yeah. The man gave me $5. The man took the violin home, cleaned it up, tuned it up. Didn't know that the guy who bought the violin was a concert violinist. And what he found out was that that old dusty violin was a Stradivarius, the most valuable violin there is on the market. And when he got that violin all tuned up, he played that violin and it gave such a wonderful sound. See, to somebody who didn't know the value of it, it was just $5. Old dusty violin. I hadn't sold it. It's up on the shelf somewhere. Finally can get out of my merchandise stock. Here, I'll let you have it for $5. But when you place it in the master's hands, the value of it increases. Your life has been placed in the master's hands. See, the world may see you as discount you as worthless, don't see the value that God carries in you, but God so saw so much value in you that he sent heaven's best. He didn't send an angel to die for you. He didn't send one of the little minions that he made. No, no. He sent his only begotten son, the most valuable, the most precious gift that heaven had to offer, to come and to die for you. So how valuable are you to God? If you don't know your self-worth, you just think, you know, I'm not really worth it. How people commit suicide? They lose their self-worth. They don't know their value. They allow other people to label them and to determine what their value is. And so we talk down to people and people talk down to us, and then we start talking down to our children instead of instilling greatness and potential. We tell them how bad they are. Tell them they ain't gonna never be nothing. Instead of looking past their faults and seeing their needs. Instead of becoming the treasure hunter that you're supposed to be. Because if you're a treasure hunter, then, see, treasure's never lying on the surface. It's not going to be laying on the surface. See, you ain't going to just walk around and find a pile of gold. You're going to have to dig. So you're going to have to dig down in some of the lives of people to find out that value, that thing that's in it that's worth redeeming. Outwardly, it may look like, pants hanging down, tattoos all over the place, in the lips, chain hanging from the nose, on down here, you know, and you look at all this outward, and all that outward stuff is because they have already been hurt so bad that they got to put up an exterior to keep people away. If I look worse enough, if I look fierce enough, if I look bad enough, then won't nobody get close enough to hurt me again? And we find all these different things, and then it causes us to judge their character based on what they're looking like. And since they've already been judged and mistreated so bad, they are so, also now they gravitate and adapt to the thing that people call them. Worthless. Hoodlum. Gangster. Drug addict. Thug. Look at you. They call us what? You know what they call us. But it ain't us. Because when you know who you are, it changes your perspective. It'll cause you to straighten up your back, to lift up your head, to walk face forward toward the wind. Understanding who you are in God, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Understanding that you are a child of God. Your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. You've been placed into the household and the family of God. You are heir of God, joint heir with Jesus. And the Bible says we're also co-laborers together with him. We got a function to perform. But because we don't know who we are, we allow people to categorize us, place us in their level of expectation, and people will use their fear to hold you back. If you don't know who you are, then you don't realize that you're God's offspring. What does it mean to be somebody's offspring? Levi is your offspring. That's your child. He ought to be just like you. He ought to have some characteristics like you and her, because together, y'all put it together. But see, y'all didn't raise a dog or a cat or a monkey. That's a young man. A young man with purpose and destiny and potential. And look at this young lady back here. This young lady has so much potential in her. Look at her smiling out. Look at her. Lon, did I tell you, there's nothing that you can't do if you set your mind to do it, if you're doing it for the right reason. Nothing shall be impossible unto them that believe. That's what the Bible say. But it's still, until we start reinforcing this in ourselves and in our children, sometimes we think about ourselves bad. Just Murphy's Law. Don't let nothing good ever gonna happen to me. Every time I look around, I got something going on, some trouble happening. How come this is going on? Instead of complaining about your condition, rise above it. Don't be under the circumstances. Circumstances only got one place. That's under your feet. Until you rise here, you'll never rise any other place. Remember a long time ago, they had that song said, take the chain off your brain, John Henry. It was a saying, take the chain off your brain, John Henry. Free your mind and the rest will follow. You know what it said, but free your mind and the rest will follow. But because our mind is so chained up and bound up by what we see. Do you know what happened in the garden? In the garden, they became victims of receiving the wrong information. Number one, they didn't realize who they were in God. Because they couldn't tempt me with what they tempted me with if I already knew who I was. What was the temptation? God told them, you may eat of every tree in the midst of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge, somebody said knowledge. Knowledge is what? Information. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, the serpent represented the tree. Because the tree didn't talk to Eve. The serpent did. It was information that she got from him that caused her to doubt God. Because she said, you shall not surely die. God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. What was the problem with that statement? They were already like God. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness and let him have dominion. They were already like God. But if you don't know who you are, they'll try to get you to aspire to be something that you're not. See, as long as we're connected to the source, God is the source, then we're connected to the power. But you try to be an independent God to yourself, you got no juice. Self-governing will, you're not connected to the will of God. Just self-governing will, not yielding to what God says, then you have no life in you. You have no source, no power. And eventually your battery gonna die. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How do you lead somebody? Somebody told me this one time. If you call yourself a leader and you look back and ain't nobody following you, all you're doing is taking a walk. In order to lead, somebody's got to be willing to follow. And that means they got to trust your leadership, that where you taking them, it's going to be okay. Even Moses, who had to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and lead him to a place he didn't have a clue of called the Promised Land. Ain't never been there before, but he had an inner image. He had a vision of what God told him, and that was enough motivation for him to be able to share that message with enough faith that people that heard it was willing to break out of bondage and follow him across the desert. Now, of course, when he got to the Red Sea, they said, hold up, wait a minute, Moses. We thought you was cool, but, bro, like, you see Pharaoh's army coming? We ain't got no escape. But what'd he say? Trust God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God told Moses, he asked him, what is that in your hand? Because even Moses began to doubt, like, God, you know, this, you sure? You know, this is the right? I'm going to check the GPS again. This is the way you told me to come, right? But he parted the Red Sea in order to do a miracle for the people to believe that God is the one who's in charge. See, they're not self-reliant. We got to trust God in what we do. And sometimes we're going to run up against Red Sea situations. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And God will part the Red Sea in our behalf, and we'll get through on the other side. But when the enemy tried to come through the same way that you do, it ain't going to work. What happened to Pharaoh's army? Drowned in the Red Sea. They got halfway out there, and God called the ocean to close back in. God was just demonstrating his power. Sometimes along the way, when you got leadership, people complain. Oh, they complain. Some people even doubt your leadership. They be wanting to lead themselves. They had two people in there called Korah and Dothan. Both of these came up against Moses. Said, Moses, listen, we anointed like you. Who appointed you leader? We gonna lead this. Moses said, well, come up here tomorrow. God gonna let you know. What happened? Korah and Dathan came up. God opened up the ground, dropped them into hell alive because they tried to come up against God's leadership, Moses. See, you got to be willing to be committed to your conviction that the call of God is actually on your life, because people go get you to doubt the call that you have. And if you can't follow nobody, if ain't nobody following you, make sure you are following God. Make sure you are following God. And if you just keep on following God, you're going to look around and you're going to have some people following you, because they're going to hear what you have to say. They're going to see the life that you live. They're going to see the conviction of your faith, and they're going to keep on following you because they see that you're going somewhere. He said, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If you understand that God is your heavenly Father and how much he loves you. Once again, it just blows my mind to think how valuable we must be in the eyes of God in order for him to die for us so that we can live with him. And the Bible tells us that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. There's a reward in loving God. God is love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. So let us love one another. That's the greatest commandment. The second, as unto the second greatest commandment. What's the first greatest? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and your strength. And the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. By this shall they know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. So we love because we're part of the family and a part of the household of God. And so if we're taking on his divine nature, and God is love, then the love of God should be shed abroad in our hearts as well, to be able to forgive one another, those who trespass against us, to bless them that curse us, and pray for them that despitefully use us, to feed those that are hungry, and clothe those that are naked, take those that are cast out into your house. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Be kind and tenderhearted one to another. Not arguing and bickering, not getting into debates, not talking down to each other, but edifying or building up one another. We all need encouragement in this race, because it's a hard walk. Don't think it's not. But we walk it by faith. See, in this world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. He said, no temptation, test, or trial has taken you but that which is common unto man. But God is faithful. Somebody said God's faithful. God is faithful and he won't suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. The problem is we quit too quickly. We give up too soon. We see the odds, we see the insurmountable odds afar off and we don't even try. Duh, man, I quit. That's too rough. He said, but God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. If you can understand this, that no matter what the problem, what the test, what the trial, God has already included an escape clause for you. No temptation is taking you but such as is common unto man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape so that you'll be able to bear it. He always put in escape clauses in the trial, but the escape clause can only be found through your faithfulness, through your faith and faithfulness unto God. Now, the three Hebrew boys, they got faced with a trial, didn't they? Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful authority around. He told him, if you don't bow down and worship my image, I'm going to cast you into the fiery flame, and who's going to be able to deliver you out of my hands? What God is it that you trust that's going to stop me from doing what I do? And you would have thought they would have cowered down. Know what they did? They manned up and said, listen, O king, we ain't afraid to answer you concerning this matter. The God that we serve is well able to deliver us out of your hands and from this fiery furnace. But if he does not, we still will not yield. You got to have a defiant kind of faith in God. A faith that refuses to give up, cave in, or quit. If you ever had a defiant child, you keep telling them, don't do that, stop, they're like you ain't listening, ain't even talking to them. No matter what you do, they still strong-willed doing their own. Well, you got to have that kind of faith when it comes to your conviction to believe in God and to trusting what God says. Because the enemy is going to always try to get you to take the easy road. He's going to always try to get you to lay down your guard. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just go on and say you're sick? You know you're sick. Why are you talking about you healed? Girl, you know you're sick. You're coughing, your nose running, and you got the pain in your chest. Why don't you just go and say you're sick? Well, we understand that the enemy has no authority but that which we give him. And if we invite him in, then he can have a legal place. Even though he's knocking on our door, even though we got the symptoms, even though we feel the pain, if we refuse to accept it, it's got to flee. The Bible said, submit yourself unto God first. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. When you submit yourself to what God has said, now you can resist the devil in the word of God, and he's got to flee. But when you start listening to what the devil said, going back to what I said in the garden, it's a matter of you, what information you're receiving. Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? When you start getting in the wrong information, then you start making wrong decisions. Adam and Eve made wrong decisions on wrong information, thinking they were going to prosper by that. I'm going to be like God. What kind of temptation is that? You already like God, but still, you want to aspire to be a God unto yourself? You don't even know what it's all about. You're brand new. You don't even know what responsibility that means. You have no clue, but you just fell for it. The information, the knowledge of good and evil, it's out there. Whose report will you believe? Let the word of God become the final authority in your life. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. For the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Why? Because you're going to go through something. But don't let these things that you go through cause you to give up, cave in, or quit. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's something that's going to be revealed in us. But you got to pass this test. Your life depends on it. The life and the quality of life that you're going to have depends on your faith toward God. You got to stay resolute. You got to stay convinced. You got to stay convicted. You can't be wavering to and fro. Not sure today. God, why? Why, God? Why? God, I'm not the bad guy. I went through everything I could to save you. Well, you know, God just put this sickness on me to teach me something. Why would he die for you? He bore our sicknesses and diseases in his own body. And by a strike, we heal. Why would he take the same thing he died to deliver you from to try to teach you something? No. Sickness and disease, that's under the old law of sin and death. But now you're under the new law of the spirit of life that's in Christ and has made you free from the law of sin and death. Doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to try to impose his will on you. But this is why I said, first, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He'll do what? That word flee actually means he'll run in terror. When you realize who you are, you know he ain't got nothing going on here. He ain't got no fight. Listen, God never said that the devil did not have power. But he said, I will give you power over all of the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. With this mindset and with this confidence, you can face any threat that comes your way. Knowing that you're not alone in this deal. Knowing that God is sitting ministering spirits, angels to minister unto you because you are the heir of salvation. Knowing that the angel's job is to do God's pleasure. And God has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. In order for the angels to please God, they got to prosper you. And whenever you're walking down the street, you got these two big shadows following you called goodness and mercy. And they're following you everywhere that you go. These are the angels that God has already assigned to your life. God said, I have commanded the blessing upon you. You got to be able to walk through it. Sometimes you got to go through the fire. When they went in the fire, see, their boasting didn't stop them from getting put in the furnace. Matter of fact, Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he heated it up 7 times harder and caused those, the biggest men he had in the camp to try to throw them in. The heat was so hot that they died from heat exposure just trying to get them in the furnace. They up in the furnace. And now some Nebuchadnezzar looking and say, hold up, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 in the furnace? I say, yeah, King, 3. Why do I see 4? And the fourth one that I see is like unto the Son of God. And they walking around in the fire, and the fire ain't hurting them. The only thing that burned off on was the ropes that had them burned. Then they're chilling with Jesus. He'll be in the fire with you. And the king told them, come on out. And they came out. And then the king had to give a testimony. Ain't no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If anybody say anything amiss unto them, we gonna kill y'all and turn your house into a dunghill. Oh, he came out. You think that would have changed his mind? But he still ended up losing his mind later on because of pride. For the earnest expectation. Do you know that the whole world is waiting on you? Waiting on you to come into a full knowledge of who you are. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for you to come into a realization of who you are in God. For the creature itself was made subject to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same, who has subjected the thing in hope. God said, listen, this world ain't going to always be in turmoil. It's going to change. A day of deliverance is coming. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for his. He's coming back for the body of Christ. He's coming back for the bride of Christ. That's us. He said, I'm prepared a place for you. I'm going to come and receive you unto myself. And when we're with him, we're going to be in 7 years of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to receive our robes of righteousness. We're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. This is for rewards, not for judgment of conviction. You would have never made it at the judgment seat of Christ if you wasn't saved. We ain't going before the great white throne. That's a whole different. That's to cast people in the lake of fire. But that's where you receive your rewards for your meritorious service toward God. And at the end of the 7-year period, we come back in Revelation chapter 19, 11 with Jesus. And here it is when we establish our rule of law. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years down here on the earth. That time is coming. The world is moving at neck break speed toward the end times. Where you position yourself in your faith toward Christ and your walk toward the Lord is so important right now. You sharing the message of reconciliation and getting other people into the kingdom is the most valuable thing you could do for yourself. There's five different crowns that God has that he's going to be giving out. And one of them is called a soul winner's crown. Paul said, you, those that he had won to Christ, he said, you make up the jewels in my crown. Now, we don't walk around with the crown cocked to the side, pimping like, you know, yeah. No, what we do, we take the crown and we lay them back at Jesus' feet. Because any glory we receive is because of what he did. Then he shares his glory back with us. And he prayed in St. John chapter 17. He said, Father, the glory you have given me, I have given them. He said, now, Father, make them one, even as we are one. Do you understand what that means? To be equal with God? They wanted to stone Jesus because he said that God was his father. He said, wait a minute, many marvelous works have I done unto you. For which one of these do you stone me? He said, for a good work, we don't stone you, but for blasphemy. Because thou being a man, maketh thyself God. See, the devil wants to keep you thinking that you have no potential. That you don't have any God potential in you. Matter of fact, for you to think that is blasphemy to them. Why? Because if you ever come to the realization of who you are in God, the devil knows he has no authority over you. So the world calls that blasphemy because they don't want you to think of yourself. You're not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You're thinking of what God said about you. And when you start saying what God says about you, you can start to aspire to be like your heavenly father instead of being like the devil. Devil go around mistreating folks, talking mean, talking trash, trying to hold people back, taking what they want. We ain't going to talk about that too much, but you understand what I mean? But here we are. We're the children of the Most High God. Bible said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give unto your bosom. Not stingy. God loves a cheerful giver. He said, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of this corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travail together until now. The whole world is out of discourse because of what happened in the garden. The whole world is out of sync because sin is running rapid. The reason that things are so hard for us, Lorenzo, is because Adam messed up and God said, from now on, you're going to have to eat by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to labor to make it to come forth. The reason why you suffer so much in childbearing, Teresa, is because of what Eve did.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station, WCNO.